Hey, welcome back, Every Nation, New Jersey. I hope you were blessed during our time of worship and with our children's ministry. A couple of reminders before we get into our Easter message this morning. The first one is this, is that I want to remind you that following our service today, you can meet with a virtual prayer counselor on our Facebook live feed. And so I would encourage you to do that if you need prayer. If not, as always, you can email in your prayer request at info@everynationnj.org. As well, following our services today, we're going to have our virtual hospitality. And if you weren't here last week, you are going to love this. We actually have our Zoom conference call number where you can dial in and we all get together and we just begin to talk about the message and what God's doing and begin to catch up again. And while we might not be able to meet in person, how great is technology that we can still gather together today and encourage one another virtually. And so we'll leave you all that information on the back end of our message. And lastly, I want to remind you that you can remain faithful in your tithe and in your giving during this season. So just a reminder, Mark chapter 12 has a little bit of an odd text in this. It says that Jesus was at the temple and he did something kind of awkward. It says he was watching people drop in their tithes and their offering in the offering. It seems kind of strange, and sometimes even moments like this can feel awkward to talk about money in a situation like this, but it's amazing. He watched everyone putting in loads of money, and then he watched a poor widow put in 2 pennies. It was all she had. And Jesus stops everything, and he gathers his disciples together, and he's like, boys, come here. What that woman just did, she's given more than all of them because she gave out of her need. Isn't that something? Like, Jesus didn't just stop everything he was doing and say, no, miss, don't do that. But rather, he knew those 2 pennies weren't going to do her any good. But he did know this, that as she honored God, that the Father would be her protector, her provider, and care for her in this season. And I believe God's going to do the same for you and for me, that we're gonna feast in a time of famine, you and I together, as we honor God with our tithes and our offering. And so, as always, you can give. Go to our website, encnj.org, hit on the giving icon, or you can give via the PushPay texting app. You can just text in ENCNJ to 77977, or as always, you can mail in your tithes and offerings to our local church address. God bless you as you give. Okay, so let's get into the word here this Easter morning. So here's what I want to do is, the Bible's pretty clear that laughter, it does a heart good like a medicine. And I don't know about you, but I need some medicine these days. I need to laugh. And so let me just share some with you. So Jimmy Fallon in the Twitter world, he sent out and he actually said this. He had a new hashtag and he says this, it says hashtag quarantine movies. And so he began to rename iconic films in light of our quarantine society. And so let me see what you think about each one. And so I'll give you a top 10 list. And so number one is this, Don't Stand By Me. Number two, for those of you that are homeschooling, is this, Honey, I Flunked the Kids. Here's a personal favorite. If you're a Broadway or an actor with Broadway being shut down, I love this one, A Star is Bored. Here's another one for you comic book geeks, Avengers Infinity Conference Calls. And then in the same vein, we have Zoomlander. For those of you that have been on 8 million Zoom calls, I kind of appreciated that one. Here's another good one, Ferris Bueller's Year Off. Another one, The Devil Wears Sweatpants. And all the ladies said, amen. Another one, for those of you that, unlike me, don't have a hairdresser living in your home, how do you like this one? 50 Shades of Grey Roots. And the lady said, amen. Here's another one, for those of you families quarantined together, Not Home Alone. And then last, and my personal favorite one is this, Good Will Hunting for toilet paper. Anyways, we need to get into the Word. Let's get into the Word here. So listen, we love the movies, don't we? We loved it. And if you pay attention, that we're always drawn to the same themes over and over and over again. And I don't know if you realize it, but many, if not all of them, are biblical themes. We're drawn to movies, what, about sacrifice, about love, about forgiveness, fidelity, about family. All these biblical ideas, and the reason why is because our hearts long for this. Our hearts are drawn to it. We just cannot help it. I love what Pastor Tim Keller said. He pastors a great church in Manhattan, but he says this. He says, the gospel story is the story that every other story points to. See, that's why we're so drawn to all of these biblical themes we find in these movies over and over and over again, because it points to the story that our life is playing out in. They interviewed this guy, Joss Whedon, and his name is Joss, J-O-S-S. And anyways, he's the writer and the producer for the comic book franchise, The Avengers, all the superhero ones. You know, we've been there. You know, I've spent plenty of a dollar on that one. And do you know that Joss is actually, he's an atheist. And so in a recent interview, they were asking him about his views on life. And can I just to be honest with you, is if you read it, he's very down on humanity, the way our world's going, just like womp, 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 Debbie Downer. But then they asked him, then Joss, how come all of your movies, they're always filled with hope, good, always triumphs over evil in the end? And he says this, he says, it's because I want it to be true. I want it to be true. See, even the atheist can't get away from the human heart being drawn to the big story that our life is playing out in. J.K. Rowling, you know, the author of the Harry Potter series, and it's interesting. She was actually quoted as saying that she had to be very subtle in dropping in little Christian hints throughout the series because she didn't want to give away the ending. Isn't that crazy? She said she was surprised people didn't get it because the ending was about one thing. Resurrection, that Harry Potter would die, and in so doing he would absorb death and rise again. I don't know, but I feel like I've heard that message before somewhere. And so see, that brings us to our story. See, because our story as well is a resurrection story. And I don't know if you know this, but your life, whether you're a Christian or not, is playing a part in this gospel story. It's a story of resurrection. Paul's gonna say this today, that the gospel story is the most important thing. He'll go on in another place to say this, that if the resurrection is not true, in other words, if the tomb is not empty, then Christians are to be pitied above all people. But if it is true, if Jesus beats death and gets up out of the grave, here's what that means for you and I. Hope springs eternal, and that Jesus has conquered the one thing that has plagued humanity from the beginning. And no, it's not COVID-19, but it's sin. And that's the good news we have to share on Resurrection Sunday. So if you have your Bible, hopefully you have your cup of coffee, and I'm going to need a drink right now. We're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and if you're going to say to yourself, Pastor, didn't you preach on that last Easter or the Easter before? Yep, and I probably will the one after that and the one after that. That's my job, is to think of new ways to tell the same story. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, let me begin reading. It says this, Paul says this, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance, you better get that, this is the most important thing, he says, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. So Paul just said, you and I, we're sinners. Happy Easter. And he says this, that Christ died in accordance with the scriptures. Over and over, he's going to say he died in accordance with the scriptures. Verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he was raised, and on the third day, in accordance with the scripture. And so this idea of Paul beating this drum in accordance with the scripture, in accordance with the scripture, what he's doing is he's saying this is Jesus was following the plan. I don't know if you know this, but God has not just been in reaction mode to COVID-19 or to anything else, but rather Jesus was the lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. If you followed the life of Jesus in the Gospels, it seemed more like, rather than he was reacting to life, that he was directing. He was the directing the script of this epic story that was being played out. So Jesus would tell his disciples, hey, there's going to be a donkey. I need you to go untie him. Bring him back to me. They're going to say no, but just tell him that the master needs it. He's going to say this. He says, hey, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me. On the third day, I'm going to get up from the grave. If that's not enough, he's going to tell Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Oh, and by the way, all of you disciples are going to abandon me. But be of good news, I'm going to get up on the third day. And so it's as if he was following a script, because he was. Did you know that in your Old Testament, that there's over 300 prophecies fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ? And so if you're a statistician at all, this will blow your mind. Do you know the odds of just 10 prophecies being fulfilled by one man is this? Let me get the number. 16,425 with 47 zeros behind that. So I have no idea what number that is. And so here's what that lets us know, is that Jesus was no cosmic accident, but rather he was the fulfillment of the plan of God from before the beginning of time. Verse 5 in our text, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, it says this, that he rose from the dead and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. And so if we could just stop there for a second, that Peter and the 12 disciples were cowards before the resurrection. Peter denied three times before a little girl. All the disciples scattered. It says that one ran away naked rather than be captured. You know you're afraid. However, after the resurrection, these men are fearless and they gladly give their life over and suffer a martyr's death. Why is that? Because their master and savior showed them that because of the resurrection, death's not all that scary anymore. I'll go on in verse 6. It says, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. I'll stop there and comment. I don't know what you've been binge watching during our quarantine, but there's been an inordinate amount of Chicago PD being played at my home. And here's what I realized. Just one eyewitness was enough to get a search warrant and to convict someone of a crime. What do you do with 500 eyewitnesses? See, Paul's saying, hey, don't take my word for it, or don't even trust the scriptures. Go ask people that have seen him, because there's more than 500 of them. And then verse 7 and 8, it says, then he appeared to James. For those of you that don't know, that's the Lord's brother. That was Jesus's half-brother, if you will. And let me ask you this. How do you convince your brother you're God? Listen, I have a brother. And if my brother tells me he's God, I'm going to do an intervention or do something. But if he was to suddenly die and I was to see it and raise from the dead on the third day, I might have to consider that, right? And so James became a follower of his brother, Jesus Christ, and believed he was God. And then verse 8, last of all, as one untimely born, the Apostle Paul is talking about himself, he appeared also to me. And so I don't know if you know Paul, but he was the artist formerly known as Saul, who was a persecutor of all the followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, was having people incarcerated, beaten, and even killed in this time. And something changed, that Paul would become Jesus's biggest fan, biggest advocate. And so, listen, if you were to see me suddenly becoming a Patriots fan, you better know this, something drastic has happened in my life. And something drastic happened in Paul's life. He had seen Christ resurrected from the dead. And so this is our story. And Paul says this. So he says, he begins by saying, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of the gospel. And so I want to do that this morning, remind you of the gospel. Let me ask you this. Do you ever forget things? Like, do you ever go into a room and forget why? Just me? Well, listen, if you're under 40, just know that's coming for you, okay? How many, have you ever forgotten how old you are? Once again, if you're under 40, just know that's coming for you. Have you ever forgot passwords? Or God help us, have you ever forgotten names? I'm horrible with names. In fact, if you get in my context in my phone, I'll put the person's name and then something that reminds me of them. And so Anthony Westby, you'll be glad to know that in mine is, it's Anthony Westby, bald white guy. Oh yeah, and a Giants fan. I can't believe you're even part of our church, bro. We have Sam Buchholz, who I just got in there. He looks like a tall Roger Federer. Anyways, sorry, Sam, it's true. Back to the Bible. Did you know that the Bible, that God, he gives his people reminders so that we can remember what God has done for us? And so you get Noah, that God gives him the rainbow as a sign and a reminder of a covenant that God said, I'm never going to destroy the earth again by flood. That you get Abraham, he gets the sign of circumcision that he would never forget that God has cut a covenant with him. You get Israel, they get the Passover meal to remind them that the death angel passed over them and delivered them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. And you know, it was amazing, this past week, I was reading in the Message Bible. It's by a theologian, a man by the name of Eugene Peterson, and in it, I was reading in the book of Exodus about the tabernacle. If you don't know what the tabernacle is, it was kind of like a portable church that Israel carried throughout the desert. And it noted this, the outer covering of the tabernacle, it said that it was covered in dolphin skins. Yes, I said dolphin skins. And I was like, how did I never see that before? I can't believe, I never knew that was in the Bible. And my question at first was, well, where did they get dolphin skins in the wilderness, in the desert? And here's where they got them. Many rabbis, they believe that when Israel was backed up to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was coming towards them, and remember the miracle that God split the Red Sea. And as they went across, that do you know that the Red Sea was, it's known for dolphins and porpoise. And so as God split the Red Sea, there must have been some dolphin and porpoise that remained in the dry bottom. And they killed them. And if you're a PETA or a pet person, listen, I am too. But they skinned that thing, ate that thing, and they used the skins to cover the outside of the tabernacle. So here's what I know. That whenever Israel in the wilderness came to worship, they saw the outer covering of the sanctuary. And they were reminded, hey, when our backs were against the wall, when there was no way, God made a way. And I just want to remind us today that you might feel like, hey, with this COVID-19, you don't know where you're going to turn. You don't know where the answers are. I want you to know that we serve a God that has answers, that where there is no way, he can make a way. I don't know about you, but I just know this. Whenever I see surgical masks now, it takes on a completely new meaning to me. Like it has become a sign to me when I see surgical masks is I think of this. This is the greatest season of faith of my life personally, that I got to believe God. I got to press into God. You know what else? When I see these surgical masks, it reminds me of something, that I don't control things as much as I think I do, that I'm not in control, but thank God, I know the one who is in control of all things, and his name is Jesus. So he's the author of this great story, this gospel story that our life is playing out in. And so he says to remember the gospel. And so let's take a little journey, a little reminder of the gospel story here this morning. Let's get a little sip of Joe. I'm getting cranked up. Come on, we're going to talk about the gospel this morning, Easter Sunday, resurrection, baby. And so here's the story. It begins in Genesis chapter 1, and we're introduced to this great and glorious God. And here's what we immediately learn about God, that he's good. Because everything he creates, he says, it's good. It's good. And so God creates the heavens and the earth, and it's good. The sun, the moon, and the stars, and it's good. That he has the firmament and the waters and the dry land, and he says it's good. The birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and everything is good. Until he makes humanity, and he says, this is very good. And just when you think it couldn't get any better, God takes humanity and he places us in a beautiful garden, and it's called Eden. The word Eden, it means delight. It's this delightful place where humanity walk with God in his good creation. And so if you're a thinker, you'd be like, well, if that's true, Pastor, why is everything all messed up? Well, I'm glad you asked. All right. That's where our part comes in the story. All right. So just listen in. Adam and Eve is about to mess this whole thing up. So we have one of those Amazon Echoes in our home, you know, the thing that the government uses to listen in on us and all that. We have the Amazon Echo, AKA Alexa. Did I mention I'm not very good with names? And so I was streaming music through our Amazon Alexa, and then I was ready for the music to be over, and so I began to scream. I was like, or just ask, hey, Alexis, turn the music off. Alexis, turn the music off. And then I started to get really adamant. Alexis, shut it up now. And I'm getting furious at this stupid device, but it's not the device that's stupid. It's the person talking to the device that's stupid. And if Alexa could have, I don't know if she bit her tongue, but she should have said, hey, dum-dum, you're calling me the wrong name. See, it wasn't Alexa that had the problem. I had the problem. And you know, the problem with the world is it's because of you and me. It's a sin problem. And in Genesis chapter 3, it's what's known as the fall, where Adam and Eve, they commit treason against God, and they eat of the forbidden fruit. They side with God's mortal enemy, Lucifer. And it's the cause, sin is the cause of everything that's broken in your life and in mine. Sin is the cause of COVID-19. Sin is the cause of cancer. Sin is the cause of poverty. Sin is the cause of racism. You fill in the blank. Everything that's broken in the world is because of that sin was introduced into God's good creation. And because sin entered into creation, Adam and Eve were thrust out of Eden. From the goodness of God and the presence of God in the garden, we were quarantined away from our Creator. And listen, it wasn't for God's sake. It was for our sake. Because when the holiness of God meets with sin, sin always loses. And so we're quarantined away from God in this season, protected from the very holiness of our Creator. But as we're separated, it leaves this massive hole inside of all of our hearts. And at the deepest level, if you'll pay attention to your heart, our souls know and are longing for something that's missing. The church father, Augustine, he said this, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him, in God. I've noticed there's been moments during our quarantine that I've said absurd things. Things I thought I would never say. Like, I don't know about you, but I know I haven't been able to go to the gym for about 3 weeks now. And usually, when life was normal, it would be time to go to the gym, and I would just complain, oh, I got to go to the gym. I can't believe it now. I would give almost anything to go to the gym. Do you see what a big contradiction we are? My wife reached over to me the other day, and she said, honey, I don't believe I'm going to say this, but I miss my commute, my hour and a half commute every morning into Manhattan. Is that insane? I said, baby, I can't believe you're even saying that. But it shows us this conflicting restlessness of our heart until we're reconciled back to God himself. And so Genesis chapter 3, it says this, that the world has been cursed, that we've introduced a curse into the world, and suddenly pain is introduced. Sorry, ladies, but it says that the women would experience pain in childbirth, that the man would experience toil or pain as he worked. And so listen, pain is not always a bad thing. It just isn't. Pain can alert you that something's wrong, something's broken. I was reading an article this week about a girl, let me get her name right. It's Ashlyn Blocker, adorable 5-year-old little girl. She has this rare disorder where she doesn't feel things. She has no ability to feel pain. And it sounds like it would be an amazing thing, but it's not. And I'll read a quote from her mom. It says this. She says that some people would say that that's a good thing to feel no pain. Her mom says, but no, it's not. Ashton's mother goes on to say, pain is there for a reason. It lets a body know something's wrong and it needs to be fixed. I'd give anything for her to feel pain again. See, this COVID-19, it's just this painful reminder to you and to me that we're not home, that something is broken and it needs to be fixed. And the good news of our gospel story is this, that in the end, Jesus is going to return and he's going to fix it all once and forever. But until that time, we live in a Genesis 3 world. And so sin, it spread from the first couple, Adam and Eve, and it infected and affected everyone, all of us. Like, sin was the very first, and it will be the final pandemic for humanity. I found this out this week. My daughter, she informed me that, do you know that the coronavirus, that there's several strands, and there's 7 strands that human beings are susceptible to? How crazy is it that if you understand church history, that we've identified that there's 7 deadly sins? And so I don't know if whatever that's worth, but sin is what we're talking about, this pandemic that plagues humanity. And unlike the COVID-19 test, the sin test is readily available for you and for me. And I'm talking about the 10 Commandments. See, the 10 Commandments weren't some kind of ladder that we were, moral ladder that we were to climb up, but rather it was to reveal a sin-sick heart, that when we can't keep the commandments, it should set something off and let us know something's wrong. And so let's just take the test real quick. The results are immediate. How about this one? Thou shalt not lie. Any liars listening, watching this morning? And if you said no, then that's at least your second lie, all right? How about this? Anyone ever covet, want something that someone else had? Listen, our economy is based on coveting. Has anyone ever loved something more than they've loved God? How about this? Anyone committed adultery? And hopefully most of us are like, nope, I'm safe there, Pastor. But Jesus is going to go on to say this, if you've ever looked at a woman lustfully, you're guilty of adultery. So I don't care how you line up the commands, we strike out every time and the results come back positive, that we're all infected and affected by the sin virus. Nobody is clean but one. His name is Jesus, born of a virgin. Listen, one thing I've learned through all this is I'm not even a germaphobe guy. But I realized how difficult it is to get clean and to stay clean. Tell me, you wash your hands, you Purell that thing up, and then you grab the remote control. Ah, I got germs on that. Let's do it again, wipe it up, and then you grab your cell phone that's got germs and stuff all over that, and on it goes. It feels impossible to keep clean and to get clean. And the reality is this, that you and I, we need a clean one to make us clean. Enter the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're doing something amazingly cool in New York City, and it's this. If you go into the streets of New York City, it's unbelievably eerie, somewhat apocalyptic, that it's empty and it's quiet until about 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. at night, the people, quarantined millions of people in New York City, head out to their balconies, open their windows, and they began to applaud and make noise and scream out, thank you. And what they're doing is they're applauding and cheering the frontline workers, the doctors, the nurses, the grocery store workers, the police, all those that are running into the pandemic and risking their life to save ours. How much more Jesus Christ, God, comes down into the pandemic mess of sin of our world, and he runs into it on our behalf. If you ever wondered why Christians get so excited and sing and raise their hands and dance and do all that, well, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus, he's a hero. He's a hero who ran into our mess to save us on our behalf. And so Jesus runs into our sin, and he lives the perfect, spotless life that you and I could never live. He lives the life that Adam and Eve were supposed to walk perfectly before God. And then he hangs on a cross in our place. And here's where the miracle happens. With the shedding of Jesus's blood, he found a cure for the sin that plagues you and me. That the shed blood of Jesus would cure us of the deadly plague of sin. See, the cross is this symbol. It had been the symbol of death. But now, because of the blood of Christ, it becomes a symbol of eternal life for you and for me. And so Paul says this, that he was crucified and he was raised on the third day. On the third day he rose. If you're familiar, like, numbers are significant in the Bible. And three is the number for completion. And so that we find out that God is Trinity. He's three in one. Father, Son, and Spirit, complete in himself. That we have three patriarchs in our Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then in the New Testament, we have three of Jesus' closest disciples. Peter, James, and John. We have Jesus was tempted completely three times in the wilderness. We have that Peter denied Jesus three times completely and perfectly. Listen, if that's not enough for you, we have three stooges, three amigos, and three musketeers. You get the point. On the third day, Jesus rose. You know that you and I, that we're a three-part being, that we consist of body, soul, and spirit, three in one. And Jesus suffered completely for you and I on the cross. He suffered in his body. Did you know that the term excruciating, it literally means from the cross? Because on the cross, he suffered maximum physical bodily suffering on our behalf. That he suffered in his soul. That the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That as he was spit upon and mocked, stripped naked and humiliated, abandoned by all his family and his friends, he suffered in his soul. And then in his spirit, he suffered. The crescendo is reached. As Jesus hanging on the cross, he begins to recite Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so on that cross, Jesus absorbed the complete penalty and suffering for you and for me. And now, because of his resurrection, you and I are freely and forever forgiven. We don't have to guess, was it enough? Because he got up on the third day to let us know that it was finished for you and I. And so I need to close here. And so we started with talking about movies, and I want to end by talking about a movie. See, this gospel story is the story your life is playing out on, out in. And so, see, Hollywood seems to think when something goes wrong in the world, there's one guy that they can call, and his name is Will Smith. If your love life is dying and needs to be resurrected, who do they call? Will Smith, if you've seen the movie Hitch. When the world is attacked by aliens on the 4th of July, who do we call? Will Smith, if you've seen the movie Independence Day. That when the movie is infiltrated by extraterrestrial life beings that are disguised as humans, my goodness, that was hard to get out. Who do we call? We call Will Smith. And then finally, we have this one. It might hit a little too close to home. Is this a virus hits New York City? It becomes this pandemic around the world, but one guy is not affected. He's immune to it, and his name is Will Smith. And if you remember the story, I Am Legend, Will Smith, he plays Dr. Robert Neville, and as his blood provides a cure for this virus that was wiping out mankind. I don't know if you remember the final scene as these infected creatures, they were trying to destroy him, and he's crying out. He's saying, I have a cure. I'm trying to save you. He says this, I can save all of you. And yet they refused. And that's going to bring us to our story. That, listen, this is not a movie. This is real life. And sin has affected all of us. And Will Smith can do nothing to save you. But there's one that can. And his name is Jesus the Christ. And oddly enough, he would say the same words to you. I can save you. I can save every one of you. And that's what Jesus wants to do for you today. Listen, if you're a Christian, I just want to do what Paul did. I want to remind you of the gospel, the good news, that though we're in a pandemic and things are a little uncertain right now, they're certain for you as a Christian, that in the end, that love wins, that Jesus rules and reigns, and he's going to make everything new again. But if you don't know Jesus Christ here this morning, it's my great joy to make Jesus's offer of his life, death, burial, and resurrection, make that available to you. And so if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I'm going to pray a prayer for you this morning. Listen, if you'd like, you can repeat it after me. Or if you just would like to just receive it in your heart, and then maybe just say it in a hearty amen at the end. The word amen, it means so be it. Let it be so. And so if that's your prayer this morning, I want to hear or type in a solid amen. And so let me pray for you. And so if you can, if you're going to pray this prayer, repeat after me. Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. I want to receive your gift of forgiveness and of salvation through your cross and through your shed blood. I receive you this Easter morning as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and happy Easter, Every Nation, New Jersey.